This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Miguel Rojas!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Smith with a smash. Betts has it. Steps on the bag. The throw to first. Double play!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To beat the champ, you gotta knock him out!
Coming up on today's show, complete Week 10 Roundup, World Series Recap, Monday Night Preview. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, baby, do we have a Monday show in store for you right here live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. My Lord, did we have so many sporting moments over the weekend that will last for quite some time to talk about with you. Once again, here on a Monday, we have no guests. It's just us talking about it in studio and then us talking about it with you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great, man. It's Victory Monday. Let's do this.
Well, you and I, it's also Overreaction Monday. We just completed that podcast. It's available for everybody in their RSS feeds, along with all of us here on the Rich Eisen Show. The cut-down version of it airs at 4:30 Eastern Time on ESPN2. And then the full version of it on our YouTube channel. If you want to watch it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. You want to hear it, get it wherever you get your podcasts. It's already in the books. Good to see you over there. Jason Fellow wearing his Dodger black. Good to see you over there, sir.
My blood pressure's still elevated. Canadian wife won't talk to me. I'm on cloud nine.
We'll talk about all of it later on. That kind of just sums it all up.
That was awesome.
And to say you can't go home again, it's clearly the case now for Jason Feller. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Good to see you.
You know, Steelers special teams coach Danny Smith has all that gum in
him. Okay, look at you.
I'm going to try to see if I can get as much gum.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's only two.
That's like four.
Okay, very good. TJ with the props and the jokes.
That's all I really bring.
Listen, everybody, week nine in the books, with the exception of the Monday Nighter right here on the ESPN family of networks. Between the Cardinals coming off their bye and the Dallas Cowboys needing to get back to 500 as soon as possible, with the Eagles on a bye week and getting stronger. We'll talk about that on the program. But it's every year, it seems now. The football gods out there see fit, for all of our viewing pleasure and competition pleasure, seem fit to get together and say, these two all-world quarterbacks don't play in the same division, but let's have them play every single year anyway. And back in the day, for us, I guess, dare I say it, a generation ago maybe, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady did it all the time. And now it appears the football gods want Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen to play every year. They played in week nine in Western New York for the sixth straight season. Six seasons in a row. Ooh. They don't play in the same divisions. And it's the first time that they matched up as MVP quarterbacks. I mentioned this stat on Overreaction Monday. Might as well mention it here.
Do it.
They've hit double digits now in terms of facing one another, 10. And now it was their first matching up as MVP quarterbacks. The record for most matchups in the history of the National Football League between MVP quarterbacks, the aforementioned Brady and Manning played each other 17 times. They were division mates for 1 year. Okay. Right. Brady came in 2001 when the Colts were in the AFC East. Next year, realignment, they go their separate ways, but still, they faced each other 17 times. And then, including the playoffs, by the way, another 17 times, Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr faced each other many other generations ago, 17 times. So it was the first time they faced each other as MVP quarterbacks. It was another first as well. It was the first time Mahomes and Allen faced each other when neither were in first place. That's right. As we all know, the Bills lost to the Patriots on a Sunday night. They lost to each other, just to get this exactly correct. This game was in week five of the NFL campaign, when Drake May came in and shocked everyone in Western New York and won under the lights against the Buffalo Bills. And they have yet to lose since, which is why the Bills were not in first place coming into this game. And as we all know, the Chiefs famously started 0-2, and the Broncos aren't losing football games. They've won six in a row now after they beat the Texans yesterday, 18-15. And the Chargers keep winning. And the Chargers were the ones who began to put the Chiefs in that 0-2 hole in Brazil. So that's all mentioned as the backdrop of this game, because it's a rarity when you see two MVP quarterbacks face one another. It's a rarity for these two to face each other as non-first place teams. And it's also a rarity that these two teams are, because of that last stat, at a crossroads. They're teams at a crossroads of a season. Because as the Chiefs were losing in Western New York, the Jacksonville Jaguars escaped in Las Vegas. And the Jaguars are one of the four teams to have beaten the Chiefs this year. And they come off their bye, and they are now 5-3, and the Chiefs are 5-4 heading off into their bye. And the Bills, had they lost this game, watching the Patriots win again in Atlanta, that result, in New England against Atlanta, which can't make a field goal or an extra point for their lives. That might be the difference between the Falcons making the playoffs or not at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. They lose by one in New England. The Bills take the field yesterday knowing they've got to win to keep pace with Drake May. And the team they have to beat are the Chiefs. And I don't want to hear it that, well, the Bills keep beating the Chiefs in the regular season and the Chiefs just keep beating them in the playoffs. Even though that is correct.
That is exactly what happens.
I know. The Bills have now won five in a row against the Chiefs in the regular season. And the Chiefs have won the last four against the Bills in the postseason. As a matter of fact, three of the last five Bills campaigns have come at the hands of the Chiefs after the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. But coming into this game, as I mentioned, with neither quarterback, MVP quarterback, being in first place, a loss might eventually mean they're not making the playoffs at all. And sure enough, the Bills, despite boat racing Carolina, which turned right around and won in Green Bay against a team in Green Bay that smoked the Steelers in Pittsburgh, only to turn around and lose every ounce of mojo that they had to lose to Carolina, while Pittsburgh flipped the script and got six takeaways of the hottest team in the NFL and hottest quarterback running back combination in the NFL in Indianapolis. You can't tell week to week what's going to happen. So you need to take care of business in the week that you're playing, and the Bills playing a Chiefs team that could ill afford to lose if they wanted to make it 10 straight years atop their division. And the Chiefs are taking on a Bills team that could ill afford to lose if they want to win their fifth straight time atop the AFC East. This is big. And I don't care that the Bills boat raced Carolina and Carolina won in Green Bay. They, in their own locker room, with the defense being maligned and now missing Ed Oliver for potentially the rest of the season, they went ahead and they pressured Mahomes like it was the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Mahomes is not used to getting pressured like he did yesterday. 52.6% of his dropbacks were pressured, only the fourth game in his career when he was pressured on 50 or more percent of his dropbacks. The other three games happened from 2018 to 2020. So the Bills turned back the clock on Mahomes in terms of him running for his life. Second worst passer rating in his career, 57.2%. You don't think that means anything to the Bills, who aren't guaranteed a division this time around, like whenever they face each other before, the Bills and the Chiefs? You're not even guaranteed a playoff spot with the way the rest of the AFC West is going and the Ravens coming on stronger, one would think. James Cook, I said it the other day. Just keep finding number four. Don't forget the reason why he was holding out or holding in and you paid him anyway. 27 carries. This is what we're talking about. Put the bell cow on him and see what he can do. 114 rushing yards. First 100-yard rushing game by a Bill against the Chief. Pardon me, but of anybody against the Chiefs since Zamir White did it. If you remember the Christmas Day surprise of the Raiders in Arrowhead.
Zamir White.
In 2023. And the only one who's had more rush yards through the first eight games in the history of the Bills than Cook's 867 is OJ, who had 1,100 plus in 73 and 75. He won the MVP award in 73, by the way. It's a career high number of carries. Six career games now with 20 or more carries. Half of them have come this year because the Bills understand this is how you do it. And then Josh Allen, man, this is unbelievable. You want to talk about a remarkable quarterback performance in a game where it really mattered. And again, I don't want to hear it that they don't do it against the Chiefs in the postseason because that can change at any postseason. And there's no guarantee they're going to see each other this postseason. You got to make it to the postseason before you worry about this stuff. When they, again, faced each other for the first time without being in first place. Josh Allen, 23 of 26 for 273 passing yards and a passing touchdown. His two rushing touchdowns give him 79 in his career. That is the most of anybody in the history of the NFL. He broke the tie with Cam Newton at the top. This is the one that's kind of crazy. He's got seven rushing touchdowns this year now. First quarterback in NFL history with six or more rushing touchdowns in each of their first eight career seasons. The other ones are named Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk, and LaDainian Tomlinson. He's a quarterback. Sixth player in NFL history to do so in any eight-season stretch of a career. That widens out the net to Derrick Henry and fellow Bill Thurman Thomas to be in the mix. He's unbelievable, and he did it when they needed it. They need it. I don't care that they don't do it in January or February because this year neither may get the chance. And this is what exactly the Buffalo Bills needed to do. You put up the AFC standings, if you don't mind, Mr. Hoskins, please. Because the Buffalo Bills now are the top wild card team, a half game behind the Patriots, who won again, as I mentioned. They've been on fire since starting 1-2, six wins in a row for New England, which now visits Tampa next. And the Bucs are coming off of a bye. That's a big win, while the Bills next visit Miami, which, as you know, has a dumpster that's apparently on fire. So that was massive for the Bills because otherwise they would be a 5-3 team, just like the Jaguars, and the Chiefs would be 6-3 right in front of them with a tiebreak on top of them because they might not win their division either. And that possibility just got that much larger because they're 5-4. The Chargers, who beat them, are a game and a half ahead of them. The Broncos, who they have yet to play, the Chiefs go on a bye, and they come off that bye at Denver, which after their sixth straight win, Denver now starts week 10 in three nights against a Raiders team that has Brock Bowers back healthy, three touchdowns against the Jaguars. But that's a tall order for them against a defense that is killing it and taking scalps. So the Chiefs now head into their bye in this situation, which is way worse than the Bills situation, and it could be absolutely different. And that's why I don't even care about their postseason records against each other. This was a big win for the Bills and a tough loss for the Chiefs, who head into their bye week, one game over 500. It's the first time in the Mahomes era that the Chiefs haven't hit their bye at least three over 500. So they are now in a spot that they're not used to being in. This is what Mahomes had to say after the loss.
We've had great moments. We've had bad moments. We got to be more consistent as a team. I got to be more consistent at quarterback. And we got to be able to battle. I mean, we've kind of been in a lot of these tight, close games in our history, but they're not going our way now. So how can we deal with that adversity? How can we be better and learn from it? I mean, you only learn from so many losses. I mean, you got to learn from it fast. And it's going to be an uphill battle when we get back. But I think our guys are up to it.
I mean, the 4th and 17 he converted was unbelievable to Rashee Rice, who is definitely back, you know, 4 catches, 80 receiving yards. He had his first rushing touchdown of his career. By the way, 11th different wide receiver to rush for a touchdown in the Mahomes era. And just gives you an idea of how diverse that offense can be when it's clicking, which it can, and it is. And Kelsey's playing way better than a lot of people thought that he would follow up last year's season with. There's a lot to hang your hat on if you're Kansas City. The problem is they started 0-2. They started 0-2, and hopefully they get healthier and come back, and then they have their 2 games against Denver, which is the way through. It's their way through. They do have the Colts coming off of their bye after they visit after they visit Berlin this weekend against Atlanta. They're at Dallas on Thanksgiving. They're home for Houston on a Sunday night, and Houston's only giving up 15 points per game despite being 3-5. The Chargers, they have to win that. These are all pretty much must wins for Kansas City to repeat as AFC West champs for a 10th straight year. And if not, they got to win enough to make the playoffs and then go through as a wild card, which they've never done. They've been on the road before, as we know, and made the Super Bowl, having beaten Buffalo and then Baltimore and then went to the Super Bowl and then won it.
But never from the wild card.
That is correct, sir. They've won it every single year from the spot of AFC West champs. So that's why, again, this is a massive win for Buffalo. Tough loss for Kansas City. Doesn't take the Chiefs off. The loser wasn't going to be removed from the chessboard. But I don't want to hear it about the Bills can't do it in January, because they might not see the Chiefs at all.
Well, the Bills can't do it in January.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Chris. They haven't done it.
And especially against KC 0-4.
I understand it, but there's some people on this team that it doesn't matter to them, and they also can't go into life thinking that the inevitable is going to happen to them anyway. But what they want to do is they want to play at home, because that advantage is significant. Certainly it's the last time they're playing in this house. They want that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, we hit the NFC North, which had the puzzle pieces just tossed straight up in the air in week 9. Bears are back in it. The Vikings are flat out in the mix as the Packers and the Lions stub their toes at home. There's the Colts losing to the Steelers. The Steelers defense rising up. We've got a great new segment about a Mike Tomlin soundbite. As you know, he's very quotable. It's called Straight Outta Tomlin. It's awesome. And we've got some great Did You Knows to end hour number one also. Still to come on this program, my breakdown of World Series games 6 and 7, which were, I wrote it down here. Drunk. They were drunk. The games are drunk. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. So much to talk about on this Monday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We're proud to serve over 2 million veterans and their families, because your service inspires ours, and your service opens the door to membership, which means you can get access to exclusive rates, discounts, and financial tools that you can share with your whole family. Become a member at NavyFederal.org/veterans. And from all of us, Happy Veterans Day. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Green Bay Packers.
Speaking of the green.
Absolutely destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. And I was talking about how great it must feel for Jordan Love to do what he did as a guy who'd been sitting behind Rodgers, wondering when he's going to get his chance for Green Bay, knowing the future plan was for him to be the Green Bay quarterback, knowing invariably he would be on the same field as Rodgers as an opposing quarterback. And for him to come up with 360 passing yards and one of his best performances, 20 straight completions, must have felt great for him. And then he shows up back home on his 27th birthday. And this is a big number, because if anybody's been paying any attention to any show that talks about anything to do with the Green Bay Packers, you've seen the number 27 for the quarterback means something, because that was the age at which Bart Starr won a championship and Favre and Rodgers won their only championships with Green Bay. And now here's Love at 5-1-1. Happy birthday, Jordan Love. You're 27. And then he plays one of his worst games of his life.
Pretty bad.
And you tip the cap to the Carolina Panthers, man. They got Bryce Young back. He didn't have a terrific game, although Micah Parsons didn't get a single pressure on him. It's the first time in his career that he bageled in the quarterback pressures department. And the Packers, in a game that everybody was chalking up, they wind up losing on a last-second field goal, 16-13, absolutely stunned at home in front of the faithful. 80 passer rating for Jordan Love, his lowest passer rating in a game in his first game without a passing touchdown all year long. Rico Dowdle, man.
Heard of him.
25 carries, 130 yards. Now you heard of him, huh?
Hit him with the Rico.
Two rushing touchdowns. He has totally taken over this role for the Panthers, despite them paying Chuba Hubbard prior to last year's game in Munich that I called against the Giants. Talk about a crossroads. That was Daniel Jones' last start as a Giant. He got cut, and the Panthers have not looked back, and they are now above 500 through their first nine games for the first time in six seasons. They were 5-4 through nine games played in 2019. They lost every game after that, finished 5-11. But listen, this was big for them to go into Green Bay and stop the top-ranked team, number one atop the NFC standings team in their own home. And this is the reason why you can't sit around and go, oh, that team is great. That team has no chance. I wonder how many survivor pools got busted with that one. You can't sit here and say, also, Green Bay has no chance moving forward, because, again, you just throw that one out for Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. They haven't played like that all year long. The one issue about moving forward is Tucker Kraft may be done for the year.
Confirmed.
It is, in fact.
Yeah, as far as
that's not good.
And he was the yards after the catch machine. I know this fact off the top of my head because we did a piece on it in NFL Game Day Morning on NFL Network on Sunday. 11.2 yards after the catch for Tucker Kraft, most by any player in the NFL at the wide receiver or tight end position. The most by a tight end since they started tracking such things 19 seasons ago.
Really?
To the point where we were saying that the Packers were serving up helpings of Kraft yak and cheese.
I know.
I actually dropped a microphone on the set after delivering that line. That's a problem. But Josh Jacobs is not. Again, he had another rushing touchdown, at least one in 7 out of 8 games. That's the most such games in the NFL entering tonight's Monday Night Football contest. So the run game's working. The passing game's going to get better, one would think, certainly from yesterday. It's proven to have been better. Problem is that they're 5-2-1 now. And one would think, with J.J. McCarthy coming off of the sideline after being hurt since week 2, and he gets his first start since week 2 against a Lions team that's 5-2 coming off of a bye, Carolina had to think to themselves, we just knocked Green Bay out of first place in their division. But that's not the case. Because there's J.J. McCarthy showing up. You know, it's one of my favorite subject matters. I'm biased. Everybody knows it. Because we're both Michigan men who know how to win. But I understand there were lots of doubts. And there were doubts here, too. I even went higher register last Thursday. I think it's all going to work out for J.J. McCarthy. Not worried about him. And the words always about JJ as well, he doesn't really have to throw all that much because Michigan did all the running, forgetting about all those deep throws he made in Ohio, where he's also still undefeated. Same for Colston Loveland. Oh, we'll get to that later. JJ McCarthy, 3 total touchdowns. 2 in the air, 1 on the ground, did everything he needed to do in the moment, as fellow Michigan man Tom Brady was pointing out on the Fox broadcast. Ended the Vikings' 4-game losing streak in Detroit. Detroit was 3-0 at home this year. Their last home loss was last year against the Bills. So J.J. McCarthy removes Josh Allen as the last quarterback to have beaten the Lions at home in the regular season, removes Jaden Daniels in that category overall, a guy who is the unicorn coming into this season, and we all know this season's now in doubt for him. Every throw McCarthy needed to make, it was on point, it was accurate, it was exactly where it needed to be, including the one to Naylor that nailed the coffin shut on the Lions. Great throw. Brady was saying, way to go. Tom doesn't just throw those around because he's rooting for a Michigan man. That's a fact.
Well, I mean,
no, it's true, man. It's true. And the ankle sprain, because he was hurt, not on a sabbatical, J.J. McCarthy takes that talk and shoves it in places where the sun does not shine. It's just one game. Just one game, but boy, did he come up with it. J.J. McCarthy, emotional about it.
It was awesome. Yeah, just when you're hurt, you know, being on IR last year and being out for 5 weeks, it absolutely kills me not being out there with those guys because I love every single one of them. And, you know, I know they got my back and I got theirs the rest of the way.
And that's the shirt that he's wearing. You see it says JJ, the blue collar shirt. That was issued by Jim Harbaugh back in the day. He wore that shirt as a frosh quarterback to the MSU game.
JJ Automotive.
And so he's back in the state of Michigan where he's also still undefeated. This is such a great day.
And Tom Brady has none of those same feelings.
No, I'm definitely more biased than Tom. But although I don't have my name all over the locker room there in Ann Arbor,
so
as you
really
guys have seen. No, so listen, it helped to have Aaron Jones back before he went out. Aaron Jones had a ton of production, 98 scrimmage yards. Jordan Mason had 10 carries on top of it. Run the ball like that. Protect JJ enough for him to make the throws. And then we talked about this, Christopher, on our Overreaction Monday pod. The defense, man.
Yeah. Brian Flores, masterpiece.
Season high, 5 sacks, 11 quarterback hits. And last year, when, again, Sam Darnold was a quarterback there, one of the two quarterbacks we keep hearing about the Vikings screwed up by letting leave because J.J. McCarthy couldn't do it. Last year's two losses to the Lions in the regular season that caused them to go on the road and be one and done by the Rams in a wild card weekend. Jahmyr Gibbs had 160 scrimmage yards or more and multiple touchdowns in both Lions wins. On Sunday, a career low 28 scrimmage yards.
Yeah.
First game in over the last two seasons, he had fewer than 50 scrimmage yards. That's spoken like a guy who has Jahmyr Gibbs in fantasy and has left a mark this morning.
You can say that.
Same thing with all Jonathan Taylor fantasy folks.
Yep.
But the Lions held to just 65 rush yards. That's it. Detroit, in case you're wondering, has been averaging through the first 8 weeks of the season 133.7 rush yards a game. So the Vikings defense made J.J. McCarthy's performance stand up. And hey, JJ, again, we need to see more. Obviously, I'm having my fun. I love crowing about him and leading with my chest and speaking with it. But McCarthy may just have a little bit of what you want in a quarterback in the National Football League, which is resilience and coming up big in tough spots. He becomes just the third quarterback of the Super Bowl era drafted in the first round to have two road divisional victories in his first three career starts. The others are named Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. So good on you, J.J. McCarthy. They are now 4-4. But they're a last place team because the Chicago Bears, everybody.
The Bears.
The Bears won 4 in a row and then lost to Snoop Huntley. Mm-hmm. And they almost went back-to-back in losing to Snoop Huntley and Joe Flacco. Because despite the offensive performance that they were getting in every phase, okay, in every phase, this kid Manangai may have just...
Yo.
Listen, mm-hmm. when you hear in the NFL that it stands for not for long, and I don't care how healthy a room may be with running backs and receivers and quarterbacks, but everybody wants the starting gig, which is why if you are hurt, you don't want to be hurt for long, because if you're out,
dude,
adios. And DeAndre Swift certainly hasn't looked like Manangai did. Kyle Manangai, 26 carries. How about this? Rutgers in the house. 176 rush yards, 6.8 yards per carry. Last rookie to run for as many rush yards was Anthony Thomas in 2001.
A-train.
So DeAndre Swift misses the game with a groin injury. And Caleb Williams is catching a touchdown pass from DJ Moore. And the Bears take the lead only to cough it up. That 15-point lead they cough up in the last minute plus of the game because Joe Flacco is finding T. Higgins, who drops nothing, and finding Chase and finding everybody and throwing for over 400 yards for the first time in his career. And then lo and behold, an onside kick worked. Onside kick works. And he gives the Bears the lead. And sure enough, the Bengals defense, much maligned for good reason, gets him Caleb into a third down situation. Caleb runs for the first down and then throws over the middle to Colston Loveland, the rookie tight end, who takes it the distance because the Bengals just try to knock him down instead of tackling him.
That was amazing.
That play was amazing.
And that was basically the Bears-Bengals game from start, which, by the way, started with a Bengals kickoff return for a touchdown. By the way, on the day, may he now rest in peace, Bob Trumpy, the former Bengal, who, as you know, turned into a terrific NBC announcer.
Sure did.
He called some Super Bowls with Dick Enberg, but his original partner, the one that you would always hear him on every Sunday for the AFC West, I'm getting goosebumps, was named Charlie Jones. Do you know the name of the Bengal who returned the opening kick for a touchdown is? Charlie Jones. Can't make it up. Charlie Jones with a touchdown. That's how it started, and that's how it ended. It was basically the football version of a Dodgers-Blue Jays World Series game. Wild.
Yeah, it was.
And the Bears are now 5-3. The Bears are now a half game behind the Packers. The Bears are now in third place behind the Lions because they lost that Week 2 game, that boat race of a win that gave the Lions a four-game win streak before they've lost two of their last three. Look at the NFC North standings. Four teams separated by a game and a half. Unbelievable. The Bears next up go home to take on the Giants before they visit Minnesota, have Pittsburgh, and then after that home game against Rodgers, back in that building, is going to be lit. Lit. Bears fans might start drinking for that now.
You're probably right.
And then the day after Thanksgiving on Prime Video at Philadelphia, let's go before they take on Green Bay twice. Some big time Bears games if they can keep playing like consistent football. And the takeaways, they've had three or more takeaways now after this victory. That Bears defense have three or more takeaways in a football game now for five games this season. Let's go.
You know, Rich, about 2 weeks before the season started on No Contest Wrestling, we had the WWE Tag Team Street Profits on.
Yes, sir.
Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. Ford is a Bears fan. Dawkins is a Bengals fan. And they start trash-talking each other about this game in Week 9.
Well,
and I was sitting there like, yeah, no one's as excited about this game as you two are, trust me. And it turned out that might have been the craziest game of...
Well, I can't say the year because
we've
seen some other ones that are just off
game.
The charts.
It lived up to their expectations.
Eighth game since 83 with multiple go-ahead touchdowns in the last 60 seconds of regulation. How does that sound? To back up your play right there.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, the Bears, no turnovers, and they had their fifth game this year. All five of their wins have featured three or more takeaways. They've got the best turnover margin in the NFL on plus 13. And Ben Johnson's pulling out bags o' tricks all over the place. And they're in the mix. Everybody's in the mix. Everybody's looking alive in the NFC North entering Week 10. When we come back, the Bengals side of things. And then that Colts-Steelers game before we wrap up hour number one of this Week 9 edition. Phone lines are lit. We've got more than enough time to take your calls. Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN Radio, again, presented by Progressive Insurance, supporting you every step of the way, progressive.com. We've just been talking about Ja'Marr Chase doing his best to say, you know, I don't want defensive players chewing me out and telling me what I've done wrong, even though he rarely does. Well, honestly, if he said if he flat out came out and talked about the rift that has to be taking place anyway in that locker room. You're 3-6, season's going down the tubes. The front office does something aggressive to get you a quarterback that, say, just in the case of Chase, gets you 62 targets since they brought Joe Flacco on as a starter. So this is all working. And T. Higgins became the third player in the Super Bowl era with a receiving touchdowns in 9 straight home games, tying Jerry Rice with the Niners and the guy who once upon a time only caught touchdowns in Philadelphia, but then did so. His record of 10 straight was with Minnesota. This is supposed to, Chase Brown's doing what he's doing, but the defense can't stop a cold. What's he going to do if he comes out and says, this sucks? My defensive teammates are the reason why we're 3-6.
I don't mean maybe to like a media member, but I guess my question is internally.
I don't know what that would do either. What's it going to do?
Well, I mean, people speak up about their teammates all the time, right, Chris? I mean,
I don't know. It just seems maybe they need to do something.
I don't know what it is. What's fire the coach in the middle of the season? That ain't happening. You know, Mike Brown, I mean, we've got a drop for whenever Mike Brown signs anybody. The last thing he's going to do is fire a coach and open up his Velcro wallet to pay someone to not coach the Cincinnati Bengals.
One of them.
Just ask anybody. Never. They were hoping to hear that when Marvin Lewis kept on winding up short. You know, that's just not going to happen.
But this was all also very predictable. They didn't do anything different in the offseason. They made no changes.
Well, they got Shamar Stewart, who hasn't done anything.
And it was like, can Joe Burrow outscore everybody and hang on and win games? And then he goes down, and now Flacco is absolutely balling. The dude had the second most passing yards in a single game for a player over 40.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady threw for 500 in the Super Bowl. Nope, doesn't matter.
I don't think it would help anything. I don't know what's to be done. There's a trade deadline in the next 24 hours. You're 3-6. Joe Burrow might not be coming back.
People are trying to get Trey Hendrickson.
The Bengals and the Bengals and the Commanders right now are teetering on the edge of what do we do?
Yeah.
Both are 3-6. Meanwhile, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's talk about them in the few minutes we have left in hour number one. They get torched by Jordan Love and the Packers at home. We're all wondering, is there something going on with the Steelers defense that is fixable? Gerald McCoy on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday morning said, looking at the tape and watching this team, they are the least physical Mike Tomlin team he's ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he goes, I don't know if whatever Tomlin's saying isn't being heard or listened to, but this does not look like a Pittsburgh Steelers physical defense. Lots of hats to the ball, creating havoc. And if you told me going into the Colts-Steelers game yesterday that the Indianapolis Colts, who had not a single, despite Daniel Jones's renaissance, didn't have a single 100-yard receiver all season long, would have not one in Michael Pittman Jr., but two in Alec Pierce, and Daniel Jones would throw for almost 350 yards passing, I would have thought they got boat raced again, the Steelers. But it is the exact opposite. Jonathan Taylor, just 45 yards rushing. That's it. Season low, obviously. Daniel Jones was the man who was absolutely harassed and hounded. 6 takeaways for the Steelers defense. The rest of the NFL has 2 combined games with 5 or more takeaways. The Steelers came up with 6, most by anybody this season. Most by the Steelers in any single game since 2010. And Rodgers is turning back the clock in terms of his physical prowess. He looks really, really good. Jaylen Warren, first career game with two rushing touchdowns in support of Rodgers, who had a passer rating above 95 for the 157th time in his career. That ties Drew Brees for second most all time. T.J. Watt recorded his fifth career strip sack, in which he recovered his own fumble. Since 1991, only Jared Allen, Chandler Jones, and Robert Mathis have more. T.J. Watt came up big. This is huge. And it leads to our new segment of Mike Tomlin soundbites. Straight out of Tomlin. Hit it.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Our kicker is a serial killer.
Straight out of Tomlin.
How do you explain such a drastic difference? You shut down the run, take the ball away. You hold up. That's a high scoring team.
It's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes in this business. it's nothing dramatic. You know, it's really not. And that's why we respect it so much.
Straight out of Tomlin.
Does he write these down?
I love
Does
it.
He have a book? Like,
he's the best, man. It is down. Truly the truth, though. There's a small difference between drinking wine, fine wine, and squashing grapes in this business. And they've been trying to squash the grapes. Didn't work out.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
We are not. And they are now 5-3. And everybody thinking, here come the Ravens. Well, the Ravens might be closer than they appear in their rearview mirror. It's still two games.
Yep.
Still two games. Big time win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Got to give it up. They're at the Chargers next Sunday night. That is a big game in the AFC. Oh, wow. So much to talk about here on the Rich Eisen Show after just 9 football weeks. Don't go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.